Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm already ready for the weekend, but this helps. It puts me in the mood for the weekend. Little MJ. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are getting you set for a football weekend, which means, of course, Football Friday, and we'll take lots of your calls if you want to talk about what's to come week 14. We'll have that poll up pretty quick. What's the game in the NFL that you're most looking forward to? So you can check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can use my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And usually on Facebook, we just put the entire schedule up and you guys go nutso, which is good. Also, I appreciate that there have been so many of you who've read my column. This week, I wrote about the NFL wanting us to be sports fans who forgive and forget. And if you're a sports fan or you've been a sports fan for a long time, maybe you live with sports fans, whatever, you know that we don't forgive and forget. We'll let bygones be bygones, but we do not forget. We're like elephants as sports fans. We never forget. If you have a misstep or you have a major mistake on the field or you get into some trouble, you make poor choices off the field, from that point on through the rest of your life, a sports fan will always remind you about it. Always. In fact, when I bring up sports fans, even obscure names, very often I'll get responses on social media. Well, you can't trust that guy because remember what he did? Or that guy sucks. Why do you have him as an analyst? Remember he did this? So sports fans do not forgive and forget. But what the NFL is asking us to do with its latest player investigation into Kareem Hunt is to forgive and forget. I explain everything in the column, and a lot of you have already read it as well as responded to me. And I appreciate those of you who agree, but I also appreciate those of you who do not agree. So thanks for checking that out. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter page or pinned to the top of our Facebook page. And even though it's been quiet around the Chiefs and it's been a little quiet for a couple of days with the NFL, not hearing anything else about the investigation except that the NFL somehow got the police reports and the video through its back channels, not going through formal records requests, only to now trigger a partner investigation with the Cleveland Police Department, who wants to know how in the world that happened. Ugh. But it's been a little quiet. Don't let that fool you. This is something the NFL is furiously working at behind the scenes to try to figure out how to cover its tracks, how to spin this, how to make it look like it wasn't either another major oversight or one that was done intentionally to try to pull one over on us as fans. You can decide, but my point in the column is that the NFL has lost the benefit of the doubt. I am a fairly trusting person. I used to be naive. I'll admit that. I used to just believe everything at face value. I know better than to do that. This day and age in which we live, you live long enough and you realize that there's a lot of evil and there's a lot of deceit out there. And so to take everyone at face value is not smart. So I'm cautiously optimistic a lot of times. I wouldn't call myself cynical, but I would say that once you burn me, well, then I'm far less likely to take you at face value the next time. And that's exactly what's happened with the NFL. The league, the commissioner's office, has lost the benefit of the doubt when it comes to player investigations. So I would love for you to check out that column as we head into week 14. It's a major test for the Chiefs, of course. They're going to be without Kareem Hunt the rest of the way, a guy who'd already scored 14 touchdowns for them, 7 through the air, 7 on the ground. Will it slow them down? Maybe, maybe not. But just because we get back to football doesn't mean fans are forgiving and forgetting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up on Saturday night, we've got the Heisman Trophy Award in New York City. And I'm not really sure how to take the award ceremony and process it, the one that we saw on Thursday night, because Kyler Murray of Oklahoma ended up winning the Davey O'Brien Award as the top quarterback. But it was Tua who ended up winning the Maxwell Award for Player of the Year. The Heisman votes have already been cast. I think they were due on Monday. That was the last day, Sunday or Monday. So they do include what we saw in the conference championships. Tua got hurt, and he had a really poor game before Jalen Hurts came in to relieve him. It was the injury that ultimately got him on the sidelines and had Jalen come in, but he was not playing well before that. So it'll be interesting to see how much that hurt his Heisman prospects. I think you could say before that game, he was the clear front runner. But then Kyler Murray ends up having a great Big 12 championship game, another stage in which he could showcase his abilities. So the Heisman Trophy does have some intrigue to it. By the way, Derrick Henry, he was flashing the Heisman pose when he was out there for the Titans on Thursday night. It was one of his end zone, his touchdown celebrations was the Heisman pose, which he can legit do. I'm not a big fan of the people who do the Heisman pose who've never won the Heisman or who are not even part of the Heisman conversation. If you want it, though, flash the pose from now until kingdom come. Feel free. And he, of course, did win it in 2015. As for Tua, I am always interested to hear him speak because he comes across so mature, wise, even for his age. And you can tell that not only does he have a good head on his shoulders, but he listens to the people around him and he values the people that he has around him. And yes, that definitely includes Jalen Hurts. He goes on and on about how much he's learned from his brother. He calls Jalen his brother. So the two of them are very close. And that relationship has only benefited Nick Saban in Alabama. It's very evident because that relationship could, if there was friction there, if there was jealousy, if there was envy, if the two of them were not supporting one another or working together, that could have torn Alabama apart. It didn't. Each of them has had their moment, obviously, this year. And to have Jalen out there for the SEC championship in the fourth quarter, I couldn't have been happier for him. But the relationship between the two of them, and I think the maturity of both of these young men, has really been a benefit to Alabama and also set a great example for the rest of that locker room, right? Very often it's the quarterback who sets the tone. Not that he's the only leader, but he's a voice that you hear very often. And for those two guys to be working together, for neither one of them to undercut or undermine the other, I think speaks volumes about the leadership of the coaching staff and Coach Saban, but also about the character of these two young men. And so Tua wins the Maxwell Award for Player of the Year, and he was asked about the support system that he has around him.
It's definitely the people we're surrounded with as a family as well. We're surrounded with people that that pray for us, you know, prayer warriors. And I'd say the people that I'm surrounded with as well help me become who I am today. With my friends, I have people that are willing to fight for me in prayer, people that are willing to stand by my side, whether I'm at the top of the mountain or whether I'm in the dirt. You know, they're always there. And to have people encourage you at your highest and at your lowest, it means something very, very special to me.
Gosh, I love that. I love that. It's a great lesson about who you listen to and who you have around you. You keep the people around you who are there for you when you're on the top of the mountain, as Tua says, but the guys and friends, family, who are also with you, whether you're in the dirt, whether it's bad and you're at the lowest of the lows. In fact, I say all the time, I'm grateful to have family and friends who know everything about me and love me anyway. And I appreciate that support system for him, but we all need that, right? We all need people that will be there no matter what. And it certainly helps when they're honest enough to tell you that you're wrong or that you're acting like a jerk. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I appreciate your tweets about the Derwin James conversation. Thanks so much. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Before we get to our first break this hour, I want to pass along some bad news. This popped up on social media right before we hit the airwaves. Longtime baseball fans, you'll remember Luis Valbuena. He just retired a couple of seasons ago, and he had played the final two seasons of his career with the Angels. He was in a car along with former big leaguer Jose Castillo and former Arizona Diamondbacks player Carlos Rivero. The three of them were playing winter ball in Venezuela, and their car hit a rock in the road. It had rolled onto the road, and they ended up wrecking, and both Valbuena and Castillo were pronounced dead. So Rivero survived, but Valbuena, who is 33, and Castillo, who is 37, both passed away in the accident. So I'm starting to see a lot of colleagues who cover the Angels or Los Angeles media members responding to this news now. But yeah, they had played Thursday night for their team in Venezuela, and they were on the road after that and hit this rock. Had a major accident. Valbuena had actually signed with the Angels before 2017, and they stayed with the club until he was designated for assignment this past summer. And he was known for his smile with his teammates and with those who covered the team. He was known for flashing those pearly whites. So yeah, these guys were really young, still playing baseball because they love it. At 33 and at 37, a fatal accident claiming both of their lives. So that's tragic news coming out of Venezuela. Well, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. What's the game that you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? And the significance of December 7th, not just because it's Pearl Harbor Day, but also it means something to me as a kid who was discovering sports for the first time. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It was one of the eye-opening moments of the past several years on the show. I wish I could remember exactly which year it was. I think it was 2 years ago. So it was still Tom and Isaac and I working together. And it happened to be April. And we were talking about the Titanic. We were talking about that moment in history. And honestly, I think the way we got there was because Fenway Park opened the same week as the Titanic sunk. And so somehow I always remember that about Fenway Park and the Titanic, that they happened the same week in history. And so I'm sure that that's what happened. I was talking about Fenway Park and then somehow mentioned the Titanic. And Tom happened to discover on the internet that there was a very large cross-section of people in the United States of America who thought Titanic was only a movie, as in a script that was written cinematically just to sell a lot of tickets and to be this dramatic experience at the theaters. And they didn't realize that the Titanic actually sunk. That was actually a monumental moment in our nation's history, and they didn't know that it had happened. So I hope that as I talk about Pearl Harbor, everybody out there knows that Pearl Harbor Day is actually to commemorate a very significant date in our history, and it's not just a movie. I feel so dumb saying that, but honestly, I didn't believe Tom when he told me. And then he had proof. There are people out there that only thought Titanic was a movie. Pearl Harbor actually happened. This is Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, Friday, December 7th, for those of you who are already awake on your Friday morning. And we think back to December 7th, 1941, which is when the Japanese attacked our fleet that was parked at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. And according to the National World War II Museum. And I believe in the last few years even, there were some more remains that were identified of an Alabama serviceman. But 2,403 U.S. personnel, which included 68 civilians, were killed in that attack on Pearl Harbor. And then more than 1,100 were wounded in addition to those who died. Japan, meanwhile, only 129 soldiers. It was almost a perfectly planned and executed attack, and certainly did cripple our Pacific Fleet on that Sunday morning, December 7th. But it was also a wake-up call for the United States. Ended up being a major turning point, of course, in World War II, and ultimately led to our victory in World War II. Though it took that type of a wake-up call, that type of major loss, to awaken essentially a sleeping giant at that point. So that's December 7th, which is Friday. And at least for me, maybe it is because I love history, but I can't ever not think about Pearl Harbor on this day. Whether you watch the news or you don't, it just automatically comes to my mind when I think about the date or I see the date, December 7th. But there's something else that comes to my mind as well. Much smaller, but for me, very historical and also very impactful as a young girl who was falling in love with basketball, the sport of basketball, and also my favorite team, my favorite all-time athlete, Larry Bird. His birthday is December 7th. And I remember being a young teenager and loved to watch the Celtics, loved to watch Larry, and would always say happy birthday to him. of course, not in person, but I remember waking up and I would be on the morning of December 7th, whatever it was, and I'd made sure to tell my mom that it was Larry Bird's birthday. We would say, happy birthday, Larry, because, I was a kid and that kind of stuff made me happy. Anyway, he's my all-time favorite athlete, and the Celtics essentially are the reason why I'm in sports radio. I mean, I decided way back then when I was a teenager that I was going to be the first female Johnny Most, who is the iconic, now passed away, but longtime radio play-by-play announcer for the Celtics. His microphone is now immortalized and hangs high above the court at the Garden. And his raspy voice from all of his years of smoking cigars is very recognizable, very well known. And so I grew up listening to Johnny and to Glenn Ordway, and I fell in love with radio play-by-play and this idea that you didn't have to miss what was happening on the basketball court or the football field. I used to listen to Westwood One coverage of Monday Night Football on Westwood One as well. I loved it because sometimes trying to follow the Broncos living in New Hampshire and John Elway, who was my favorite football player, there was no local broadcast of that. And we didn't have cable when I was growing up. We lived out in the boonies in Concord, New Hampshire. So it was a lot of times about what I could get on the radio. So I'd listen to Westwood One play-by-play, and I would listen to the Celtics play-by-play. And I decided that I wanted to be the first female play-by-play announcer in the NBA, which is still the goal, to be the first full-time female play-by-play announcer that the NBA has ever had. So I feel like I have told that story so many times because everyone always asks me when I do podcasts, when I do interviews, how did you decide you wanted to work in sports radio? And to me, it feels like everyone has had, must have had, had to hear the story more than once by now. And yet I still come across people. I had a friend who asked me this week and he had never heard the story. And so I always enjoy sharing that. But December 7th is significant to me because it's the birthday, the 62nd birthday, I believe, of my all-time favorite athlete, Larry Bird. He's still the interview that I most covet. I've been in group interviews, but I've never had the chance to talk to him one-on-one. I mean, I might have to retire after that. If that ever happens, that might be the end. The end for me. It would be a perfect way to go out. Almost like winning the Super Bowl and riding off in the sunset. That would be the end. So yeah, Larry Bird, happy birthday to you. And thank you so much for making a young girl's crazy dreams come true just by wooing me into basketball and a love for basketball. I'm sure we all have our, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I think many of us probably have that one athlete that's the catalyst for our sports passion. So if you have an athlete that kind of meant the same thing to you as Larry Bird meant to me when I was growing up, I mean, he's the reason that not only that I chose this career, but that I've been a basketball junkie for so many years. I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The athlete that turned you into a crazy, passionate sports fan, and maybe whose birthday you also commemorate. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And we do have our poll up now. What's the game that you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? So either on my Twitter, here I'll retweet, or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. All of our polls originate from there. And we do a Thursday TBT from the NFL. We do all kinds of fun stuff, videos and GIFs and nightly questions. All of that starts from our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. So I would encourage you to follow it. Plus, it makes Chris happy when we get more followers on the account. So we got our Week 14 show poll up. And we've chosen the Ravens at the Chiefs, the Eagles at the Cowboys, the Rams on the road at Soldier Field. This is one of the biggest games that they've played in Chicago in years. And then the Vikings at the Seahawks. And we'll do a little preview coming up, but I'd love to take your phone calls as well as we head into a football Friday full bore. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mariota under center. Henry behind him. Hand off Henry to the left. Busting out to the outside. 10-yard line. 15-yard line. Oh, a stiff arm. Wow. 15 to the 20. 25 down the sideline. Into territory for Jacksonville. He's still going. Henry is not going to stop. He goes all the way. 99 yards. Derrick Henry. That was magical.
And Tennessee takes over at the 46-yard line. Handoff to Henry. To the right. Zigzag move. Henry to the 50. 45, 40. Henry down the sideline. Can he do it again? Yes. Henry is gone. Touchdown. 54 yards. Derrick Henry is not human. His fourth touchdown of the night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not only was it a franchise record, 238 yards rushing for Derrick Henry, and you hear the two big blows with Ian Eagle on the Westwood One Radio Network, but this was his first game of the season with more than 60 yards rushing in a game. Four touchdowns, one shy of the franchise record, and I'm not sure if you caught the conversation at the end of the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he had an opportunity to go out there and score a fifth touchdown. And instead, he wanted Deion Lewis to be on the field just in case there was an opportunity for Deion to score as well. It's kind of cool. Aaron Andrews asked him about that once the game was over, and he said, "Hey, I've got four. We want to share. We want to make sure we take care of our teammates." And he works really hard as well. I thought that was a cool moment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He had a couple of stiff arms. He had a guy that he threw away like a rag doll. That was Miles Jack. So you didn't really want to get in his way, especially not on the 99-yard touchdown run.
You know, it was so crazy because before we were in the huddle, it's like, you got to break a 99-yarder. My main focus is getting positive yards. When I hacked the ball, I got it. I just seen it, and I just hit it. My stiff arms worked, so I was happy about that, but like I said, it started up front with those guys and all of us, 11 of us, executing that play for that to happen.
I like that he points out my stiff arms worked. Yes, they did. And this is an opportunity now for the Titans because they get this long stretch where they're off, right? They're 7-6. They moved into second place in the AFC South. And even if they don't catch up with the Houston Texans atop this division, they have now put themselves right there in the midst of the wild card, and they can wait and see how everything else plays out in Week 14. You know, they have the same number of wins as the Ravens and the Steelers going into week 14 in Sunday football. What's the game you're most looking forward to? We've got it up on Twitter and on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We're going to get to your calls here momentarily. You're already blowing up my social media, though. As I told you my story about Larry Bird and how Friday is his birthday, now you're all replying with either photos or just the names of the athletes that kind of turned you into a crazy, passionate sports fan. Changed your life forever. So that you can do on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and you always have the option to post on our Facebook page over in the visitors' comments section. It's all sunshine and roses right now for Tennessee. You get the victory after a short work week. Now you have the extra time off. You can watch what happens this weekend. It's the complete opposite for Doug Marrone and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had that 6-0 shutout win over the Colts in their division. And while we're not talking about postseason here, we are talking about jobs on the line in the final month of the season, maybe even Doug Marrone's. I don't know how he recovers from this. I don't know how the team recovers from this. Tom Coughlin has really high standards. I even saw a bunch of people on Twitter who were making snarky remarks about how there's no way Coach Coughlin doesn't take over the sidelines for this team in 2019. But for now, Doug Marrone just has to soldier on.
You know, DD made some tough plays today. You know, he did a nice job. I mean, catching the football. I thought Cody, I'm sure he'd like to have some of those back, but, you know, he was able to go in there. He hung in there, so his toughness is not an issue at all. We're getting pressure. He was getting pressure and getting forced out of the pocket. And again, I think that, you know, we didn't do a good job up front. You know, we got beat up front. Credit to Tennessee. Obviously, they played well. I thought, you know, when it was 7-2 and first and goal at the 3 and didn't score, you know, and we'd be able to take the lead there. I think that was a big turning point. You know, obviously we had a difficult time, second and third, you know, and somewhere in the fourth, you know, tackling Henry had obviously a career night, which is, you know, something that we've got to do a better job of.
So Doug Marrone and the Jaguars have lost 8 of 9. It's not a hole that they can climb out of now. It's stunning considering that they were one of the last two teams standing in the AFC a year ago. In fact, they were in the NFL's Final Four. But now what? It's what have you done for me lately? Coming up next hour, we'll let you hear from Jalen Ramsey. He has a special way to describe the 2018 season for the Jaguars. 855-212-4227. Taco is listening in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
I got a question for you. I've been hearing rumors about the Dolphins, Stephen Ross, blowing up the whole thing, and the Dolphins taking Harbaugh from Michigan. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, they can't take him unless he's willing to go, can they? Unless you think they might kidnap him and force him.
Well, I forget which radio station I was listening to that had said that that Stephen Ross had reached out to Harbaugh, and Harbaugh was responding to the calls and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I got to ask Amy because she knows everything.
Oh, you know? Well, come on. That's speculation. I mean, I would agree. I would agree that Harbaugh would be one of the likely choices. You look around college football and you think, okay, he's a guy because he's got the resume, obviously having coached with the San Francisco 49ers, having some success there until, you know, he and Trent Baalke kind of had, you know, just their peeing on the fire hydrant contest that, you know, Jim Harbaugh wasn't going to win. Certainly it's an easier road for him to get back into the NFL than, say, you know, a coach who's not done it. Lincoln Riley happens to be a really popular name right now, but he's barely been a head coach in college for 2 years. So I understand why there would be speculation there. At this point, I can't tell you whether or not I think they'll blow it up. It's not like Adam Gase has been there that long. It's just these last 2 years, not only has it, you know, have there not been the results I think that they were hoping for, but, you know, there's been some personnel question marks. Now, I will say this, the season's not over. How do you make that kind of choice now when they're at 6-6? And, you know, they have no control over which division they play in, but they're at 6-6 and they're still part of the playoff conversation. How do you go ahead and say, and they were out there starting quarterback for quite a while. How do you go ahead and say, okay, we're going to blow it up now at this point in week 14? That makes no sense to me.
Okay. Cause I was hearing that on Sports Talk, and I was like, huh, I didn't know, cause I live on the West Coast, so I don't get the Fort Lauderdale, you know, the Fort Lauderdale Sports Talk over here, in Fort Myers. Unless I'm over there working. So yeah. I was just like, well, let me call Amy and see if she's heard anything.
Well, I mean, you hear things, but I would take everything with a grain of salt, right? So, again, the Dolphins are 6-6. They're still in the hunt for a playoff spot. This is not I wouldn't say the final chapter has been written on them. Maybe, as you point out, Mr. Ross decides that he can't take the mediocrity anymore, and he's like, that's it. I'm going through and I'm blowing it all up. I don't know yet that you can make that. You can make that that determination. They do have – they have Patriots this weekend, right? So I think that I think that the next month will decide his fate. And, you know, the other connection, just to, for people who don't know, with Ross is he's a huge Michigan Wolverines supporter. And right? So
yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, so there's the other
that
connection,
the other
too.
Angle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But, hey, I loved your history lesson. That was awesome.
On Larry Bird.
Larry Bird and Pearl Harbor. I'd rescued a cat from Home Depot on Pearl Harbor Day. So today is Jill the cat's birthday.
Oh, you know? She shares a birthday with Larry Bird. That's amazing.
And the 72 Dolphins would be the sports figure, the whole team that got me into sports.
That went undefeated. Awesome. Thanks so much, Taco.
Okay, well, have a great one, Amy.
All right, you too. Let's talk to Alfonso, who's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, first time caller.
Cool.
Love listening to you at night coming in and driving trucks. What I want to pick back off is the guy just came off. I hope that happens, but like you said, it's speculation. But also, the game that I'm looking forward to for this week is the Miami Dolphins. New England game, and I'm hoping that we pulled them off. But at the same token, I would love to see another coach over here.
Would you?
Yeah, really.
Okay, so you feel like this is an Adam Gase problem?
I just feel like, you know, we done gave you a few years, and I don't see nothing change.
Okay. It doesn't mean anything to you then that they've been without Ryan Tannehill for the better part of the last 2.5 years?
Well, I've never really, to be honest, I've never really cared too much about Tannehill.
My point is that they've been without their starting quarterback for the better part of the last 2.5 years. I mean, they went out, they got Jay Cutler, who had already retired. Now this season they've had to use Brock Osweiler for significant portions of the year. I mean, I think that matters. That at least needs to be taken into account, because you're talking about a coach who didn't pick his quarterback, and he's an offensive guy, didn't pick his QB, and also hasn't had one guy who's been steady at the most important position on the football field. So if you're going to evaluate him, you have to evaluate him taking that into account, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But at the same time, I just hadn't seen none since Marino. So I don't know what Miami is doing, what the coaches are thinking, what their choices of picking. Mm-hmm. It just don't seem to be airing out. So,
okay.
You know, me, I would like to see another coach and a quarterback come up and somebody get Tannehill a run for his money.
All right. I mean, I feel like that may be coming anyway, regardless of whether Adam Gase stays or goes. They may be deciding that they have to look in a different direction at QB for sure. But I appreciate your call, Alfonso. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
855-212-4227. You look at the Dolphins' schedule, it's actually very confusing. They have victories over the Bears, who are right now on top of the NFC North. They also have a victory Well, they split with the Jets and they split with the Jets and they've beat the Bills, which is not necessarily a huge accomplishment, but inside their division, they have a couple of wins as well. No, they swept the Jets and they beat the Titans, who's the team that just played tonight and are now above 500 and will be one of those teams they're competing with for a wild card. So let's say they end up tied. That is one tie break that could come into play. But yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's an up and down. They won three in a row. They lost two in a row. Then they won another one. Then they lost two more. Then they won another one. Then they lost two more. And so they just have no consistency whatsoever. But you do have to take into account an injured QB, because this is pretty much standard. Any team that loses a starting QB is likely to go through this type of a roller coaster. And this is not a knock on Frank Gore, because he continues to climb the NFL rushing charts, but he's their top running back, right? So they are devoid of talent in many places. Danny Amendola is their number one receiver, right? So you're not talking about a team that's got superstars up and down the line. I mean, do you evaluate Adam Gase then and say it's his fault, even though you haven't given him a lot of talent to work with? 855-212-4227. We're going to save the rest of your calls that are up here, and we'll rack up some more after the update at the top of the hour, only because I don't want to cut you off after 45 seconds. So a few of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Let's see. This one comes from Dodger Blue. I don't think that's his name. Jacksonville is one of the biggest disappointments this year. As soon as Fournette got injured, Bortles went back to being Bortles, and he became even worse than he was before they drafted Leonard. That is a bad quarterback. Let's see. Some of you sending me your iconic all-time favorite athletes that turned you into a passionate sports fan, that maybe sucked you into a lifetime of following this team or that team, and just... it became a lifelong love affair for me, not just with the Celtics because of Larry Bird, but with the NBA, with basketball, with sports in general. Michael says Dr. J. Robert says same thing, Dr. J. Eric on Twitter, I grew up in New Hampshire also, and I fell in love with Barry Bonds while he played briefly for the Nashua Pirates. Completely different Barry Bonds than the guy who ended up setting the home run record. Dave says Ken Griffey Jr. Oh, my gosh, one of the sweetest swings in all of baseball. Jeff says Wayne Gretzky. Chris, Patrick Waugh. I still have a number 33 Avalanche jersey hanging in my closet that I got in 1996. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll get to more of your tweets and your Facebook posts. We're talking week 14. It's December 7th and a Football Friday after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.